Paul, so last week, if you remember, we were looking at Philippians chapter 2, and we kind of concluded, said, well, if Christ came, then, and we believe he did, right? We affirm that. We talked about this Tuesday night as well. Jesus came, and he displayed humility among us insofar as he was willing to become a man and to divest himself of privileges of God, such that he would not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. And so this reality in Philippians chapter 2 of what Jesus did for us, that he became a man such that you could have walked past the God of the universe 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus and not known that you did. So this is extremely important, the humility that Jesus displayed 2,000 years ago. And then we talked about the ramifications of this reality being future, that because this happened, because Jesus displayed this tremendous humility, because that's true, Philippians chapter 2, he's going to be given the name above. He's given the name, which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Every tongue confess on in heaven and on earth and under the earth, God's word says. Comprehensive, every created being, every heavenly host, demons, every person that's ever been created will one day confess, whether it's from your heart or not, this will happen, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is true. And we affirm it. So the reality that Jesus came comes with it future reality, future ramification that are inescapable. Everybody's going to meet their Creator one day. So that we ended in Philippians chapter 1, and I want to look at that again. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It's Paul, and he says, you're familiar with this passage. Again, we looked at it last week. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So this is, I was looking back. I don't like doing this. I typically try not to do this. And by the way, this if this sermon sounds familiar, every year, the last Sunday of the year, I preach basically the same message in different ways. So this is just a time to reflect on 2019. And as a way of me reflecting on 2019, I go back through, and I don't know who does this, but I do it. I go back through my news feed on Facebook, and I start, or in my phone and my camera, and I start to look at pictures of myself in January, and then see how much more gray potentially that I have in my head, the pounds, you know, the 10 pounds that I plan to lose this year. I only have 15 left to lose, so I look back at before and after pictures, and how many goes through the horrible process of doing that just to see to reflect back on your year. Yeah, and you look back, and some of us have the fortune of saying, I did pretty good. I lost the weight. I look better than I did. We all confess that some years are better than others. You look at your kids. My kids have changed in a year. I'm not going to say. I was going to tell a story. I'm not going to tell. But my kids have changed. You look back 3 years ago, you know, they're in some cases bigger. They were bigger 3 years ago. In some cases, they were smaller, and they've grown. And so, yeah, things change. Things look a little different in pictures over the years. And I think about this verse, and I think about the responsibility that we have in Christ to grow up in Jesus. And it's just an opportunity to think through with some honest reflection. Can you say with credibility that in terms of your walk with God, that you look different today in a positive way than you did a year ago, this time a year ago? We talked about this maybe 2-3 weeks ago, this idea that most Christians don't have, most Christians in their life, maybe this week you've got your list of things to do that you want to accomplish this week. I've got to do this, I've got to pay a bill, I need to make sure that I make the deposit, I need to pay the mortgage. You've got your definite task that you mean to accomplish this week. And most of us live that way, for the most part, very organized. You know right now what you need to accomplish. You've thought about it. You've given it intention. I'm going to accomplish these things this week. There aren't many Christians that live with that sort of intentionality about their walk with God. God, I'm going to accomplish these things this week in order that I grow up a little bit, in order that I exercise myself unto godliness. And most of us are very, and I include myself, but most of us are reacting to the Christian life. We wake up and we live our life with no real intention to live out life in a way that honors God, in a way that at the end of a year I could say, I feel closer to the Lord. I've grown up, my character, less Jesse, more Jesus. That general lack of intentionality in the Christian life, I think this verse speaks to a little bit. And so I want to jump back to, well, let me just read again. I'm confident, some translations say, I have certainty, I am sure of this very thing. And so there's some things that we could notice here, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So I think that, someone look at verse 5. It's interesting. Verse 5 says this. Well, verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view, verse 5, in view of your notice this word, in view of your participation in the gospel from the very first day until now. So, and I just want to point out that even though verse 6 is true, there is a sense in which part of the work of God includes you participating in the cosmic work that God is trying to accomplish in the gospel. God's begun a work that you must participate in. This is not just God working, it is God working in tandem with your participation. But here's the thing, God began the work. God began the work. And at some point, you have to be a participant. At some point, you have to decide, am I going to be the kind of person that takes for granted the work of God in my life, or am I going to be the kind of person that lives out the Christian life in a way that honors God? So that out of that, Paul says, I'm confident in verse 6 that, you know, this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. So there are a couple observations here that are obvious. Paul says, I'm confident of this very thing. What are you confident of? That God, that Christ, that he who began a good work in you. Okay, observation number one is that whatever is good in you, whatever is whatever God has done is principally a work of God in your life. You didn't begin it. You didn't start it. God began it. There's the Holy Spirit's conviction over you, but there's none righteous, not one. Anything that's good in you came from, every gift came from the Father of lights, the God above. Okay, God began it. This is a principle. This is an obvious truth. In fact, let me see. Chapter 3. Where is that? Chapter 3. Notice, you don't have to turn there. Chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it. Paul's talking about the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it, or have already become perfect. He's not perfect. But I press on, Paul says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid, that for which I was also laid of, hold of by Christ. Another translation for that is, so that I may also make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So Christ began a work, and this is again what verse 5 says, but there's a participation. I press on. God's done it. God's done it. He's laid hold of me because Christ has laid hold of me and begun a work in me. Because that's true, I turn around and I press on to him. So I'm not resting on what God has done in my life. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward. I want to grow up in Christ. So next week, as we look at what are valuable things that we can say as a church, what do we want to accomplish? What do we want to accomplish? What do I want to look forward to? Can I make a goal for myself not to lose weight? That might be a good goal. Not to make X amount of money, not to do, you know, can I make a spiritual goal for myself in 2020? So observation number one, God began the work. Observation number two, that the work that God began, he will perfect. So the thing that God began, he will perfect. In other words, he will complete it. So it's a way of saying that we affirm, we've always affirmed in this church, that if you are in Christ, no one will ever pluck you out of his hand, that neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. So this is reality, that the God who has you in his care will keep you in his care. That's good news. Again, are you going to be an abuser of that grace, or are you the kind of person that are going to say, look, God's laid hold of me, I'm going to press into him. I'm going to be the kind of person that grows up in my relationship with Jesus. This is really key, critical, even as we think about baptism. So we think about baptism. Baptism's a picture of okay. I'm alive, right? But I'm alive to myself. I'm alive to my own transgressions and desires, and then Christ comes into the picture, and I die to myself. But then I'm also buried in Christ. I'm buried in Christ, and I'm raised up to new life, not a new, vibrant, eternal life. Not stagnant. Not staying still. Not resting on your laurels. Not looking the same this year as you will next year, as you will the next year. That there's something about your walk with God that's vibrant, and that at some point in your life you're doing as Galatians 4 says, that you are taking on the character of Christ until, Paul says, until Christ is formed in you. So there's a process by which we're Christ is being formed in us, and less of Jesse, more of Christ. Less of Jesse, more of Christ. This is what I want us to, even as you reflect, maybe in despair about the time that you've wasted in 2019 to draw closer to Christ. The good news is 2020 is upon us in a few days, and you have an opportunity to make intentions to live for Christ in a way that maybe you didn't in 2019. And then this, notice. So God will God began a work. God will perfect that work. And number three, there's a day of Christ. There's a day in the future that is certain, that is sure, the day of Christ, in which Christ will come back and judge the world. The Bible calls this a day of judgment. The Old Testament calls it the day of the Lord. And then the New Testament, as a way as an argument to the deity of Christ, the New Testament replaces that language, the day of the Lord, with the day of Christ. It's the same day. It's a day of ultimate judgment. So this is kind of, it's an encouragement, I suppose. But listen, the life that you're living today, the life that you are taking advantage of in Christ, one day God will hold account to that. You will have to stand before this God. And the thing is, a Jesus that came 2,000 years ago, a world in which there's a Jesus that came 2,000 years ago, is a world in which there's a Jesus that's coming back. Okay, if he came once, surely he returns. Okay, there's a day. Christmas is not just, hey, baby Jesus. It's also recognition that this God that came 2,000 years ago one day comes back, and one day we account for our lives. We account for the character that we have. We account for the way that we live. This is inescapable. We will one day stand before God. There's a verse that I wrote down here, Luke chapter 17. This describes the day of the Lord, the day of Christ. This is interesting. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be on his day. This is not going to be, for many of us, the day of the Lord will not be a good day. And I'm talking about those that are in Christ. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be tears because of the waste that you had living in Christ. Well, for some of us, it will be a joyous occasion, but for many Christians, I'm afraid, and I don't know who, but my assumption is that there are people in this room that on that day, the day that's for certain, this is for certain, in the calendar of God, this day is set. There's a day in which Jesus comes back, and for many of us, it will not be a good day. Just statistically, I have to believe that there will be a lot of regret on that day. And I don't want to, I want to be the one that hears, well done, good and faithful servant. You did well with what you had. You took the gifts and the talents that you had. You used them for me. You multiplied what God has. Everybody in this room has got gifts and abilities, things that God has given you, unique to your personality, unique to you, that are to be used for His glory. How well are you doing that? How well are you doing that? And so this morning is this very basic day of reflection. Are we doing well with what God has given us? Are you doing well with the gifts and abilities that God has given you? Are you prepared today? It could be today. No one knows. It could be today, that today we stand before the God that created everything. When I stand before God, I'll explain it to Him. I'll explain it to Him that I was busy, and I'll explain. Listen. When you stand before God, you won't dare to speak. You're not going to out-clever God. That's not what this is. This is a day where God will reckon on you the just reward for your life. And so I think Christmas is a reminder that there's also potentially a fearful day ahead of us. It's that day. Paul's always talking about that. Paul always says one of his favorite things, like on that day. You know, he calls that day he calls it, and I think Paul could call it this, because Paul was godly. right? He died daily, right? I mean, this guy was just godly guy. He calls it my present hope. I think if maybe some of us might call it my, this is not a hope, man. This is a dread. I don't want to see that day. Like, I know that I didn't do well with what I had. And in 2019, maybe I didn't do as well. This is an opportunity to say, God, just an opportunity for our church to say, maybe we didn't do well. Maybe we didn't do well. 2020 is different. Part of our idea for 2020 is, I don't know how else to say this politely, or this is not impolite. I don't think it's impolite. Will you be the judge? Does this sound impolite? That we take the church and his ministry. By the way, Christ died for the church. Christ died for the world, but he came to save his people from their sins. This is what God is backing in this world. What God is backing in this world is the church of God to accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish. This is it. We're part of the body of Christ. God, and this church is important. It's important in your life. It's important in your life. There may be people in here that need to make a decision. Am I going to join this body of believers? There are people that have joined that need to join, as in you need to start serving. You need to start taking church seriously. I'm not talking about church attendance seriously. I'm talking about taking church seriously. Taking the responsibility that God has given us in this body of believers, that this is our church family. Am I going to take this seriously in 2020? And part of our, does that sound impolite? Part of our, a little bit, that part of our responsibility, part of what we're thinking in 2020 is how can we encourage you to take what God has given you and the responsibilities that you have to this church, that you take that seriously. That we encourage you to get plugged in, to use your gifts and abilities. And so 2019 is, here's the good news, this is so cool. 2019 is behind you. There's nothing you can do about it. You can learn from it, but besides that, you can't go back and change 2019. Here's the great news. 2020, and today is a new day. 2020 is upon us. And I would encourage you to even this week be thinking about, God, what can I accomplish? How can I grow up in you in 2020? What can I do in 2020 to glorify you? How can I use my gifts and abilities in 2020? The great news is that even though there may be some despair as you think through how difficult it was for you in your spiritual walk in 2019, the great news is every morning there are brand new mercies. Right? And so this is not time for despair. Every day is brand new mercies. And so what I'd encourage you to do is say, okay, that's behind me. I'm gonna do what Paul said. I'm gonna press on. I'm gonna press into Christ. I'm gonna press on toward the calling of God on my life. I'm gonna walk worthy. And so that tomorrow you wake up and you recognize whatever I did yesterday is behind me. Today, I'm dealing with a brand new mercy on me. And then the next day, I have brand new mercies. Thank you, God, of brand new mercies, new this morning. And then we just press on. We press on. We've got a lot to accomplish. There's a world that's lost and dying. God has a big goal for us as a church. Let's press into that.